So, why couldn't God create another dimension for us to enjoy instead of we always being connected with Him? We have to understand what enjoyment means before we can answer this question. Basically, we often have the idea of enjoyment means, okay, I have a lot of wealth, I have a lot of popularity, I have a lot of talents, I have someone who loves me, I have sensual pleasure. We think of all these as a part of an enjoyable life, as a successful life, as a happy life. Among all these, actually, what is the most important? Now, we have our friend in North Korea who is threatening to blow up America. So, now, or Japan, or whatever. Suppose there was a nuclear Armageddon and all life was destroyed on the earth, and you are the only person alive. And it's only life that is destroyed, property is not destroyed. So, everything in the earth belongs to you now. But you are the only person there. How much happiness will be there in that? Okay, you have everything, but what do you do with it? So, see, hey, our fundamental need is to love and to be loved. That's what we fundamentally need. And normally, we can love. Love is not. We want to love someone who is attractive in different ways. Attraction may not be physical, it may be in different ways. Wealth is an attractive thing, strength is an attractive thing, beauty is an attractive thing. Many different things can be attractive. So, we at our core, as souls, are made in such a way that we are meant to love God. And He is a supreme lovable being. And by very definition, the supreme cannot have a substitute. Because supreme means one. If there's a substitute to supreme, then that substitute is supreme or the first is supreme. You cannot have two supremes. Supreme is one. So, by our very nature, we are meant to love God. And by the very definition of the supreme, there cannot be any substitute for the supreme. So, in that sense, when we say that God could have created another dimension where we could have enjoyed, well, we need some reciprocation. And we need an eminently lovable object for reciprocation. And that lovable object, supremely lovable object, is God. So, without Him, we might get some pleasure, but we will never know the deep fulfillment of enduring love. So, in principle, we cannot have the fulfillment that our heart longs for without the object who will fulfill that heart's longing. So, this world is an arena for us for experimentation and rectification. So, somehow we want a substitute for God. So, in our soul is a hole, not literally, conceptually, there's something missing in us. And that hole, we could say, like a God-sized hole. Only God can fill that hole in the heart. We try to have others fill that hole and we experiment. It can be other people, it can be other objects, it can be other concepts. We can direct our love to so many things in this world. And we try various objects and then we find that this doesn't satisfy the heart. So this world offers us the arena for experimentation. And when the experimentation doesn't satisfy us, then the world also acts as the arena for rectification. That we can learn to love God. So this world is a distressful place, but it is the best possible place for the exercise of our free will for these two purposes, experimentation and rectification. And rectification, redirection of our heart to God ultimately.